Yes, I have accent. I have a very thick accent. And that's what people have been telling me since I've been in this country for 32 years. I haven't changed yet. I pastor churches in Missouri, in Oklahoma, and recently in Iowa. I'm still being told I have a thick accent. And so I know you are aware of that already. Since I've been here, I've been speaking to some of you. You know that I have accent. And but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that I was invited by Pastor Stina. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I went to seminary back in Liberia and pastor churches in Liberia, and I was privileged to win a scholarship to study through St. Paul's School of Theology in Kansas City with a Master of Divinity and Master of Theological Studies. And my whole life has been in the pulpit. But the past few years have been difficult for some circumstances that are beyond my control. So I haven't been preaching for almost 6-7 years. So I'm like a newbie in the pulpit. As a person who won a scholarship to study in Missouri through the Missouri Annual Conference, one of the responsibilities I had was to visit the churches across the state to promote the work of the church in Liberia. And so one of these days, I went to a very large congregation to preach. I preached what I thought was a very good exegetical sermon. And now as I went to the aisle to be greeted by the congregation, an older lady came to me and shook my hand. He said, "Pastor, Reverend?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What language did you speak?" I said, "Oh, I thought I spoke English." He said, "No. It sounded like Greek to me." So I hope I'm not going to speak Greek. Even though I studied Greek and Hebrew in school to help me with my exegetical work, but I'm not fluent enough to speak Greek and speak and preach in Greek. We are in Lent. And Lent is a very crucial time in the life of the church. It is a time to give up something. It is a time to reflect. It is a time to focus. In Luke's gospel, we see Jesus going all over, and he came to the temple, to the synagogue, and he was invited to read the passage. He read it as he normally did. And as he was reading, he read the scripture, and after he read it, he sat down, and everybody was focusing on him. The first and the shortest sermon that I've ever heard was, "Today, the reading that you have heard have been fulfilled through me." The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to bring good news. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, to proclaim relief to the captives. What a great mission statement. His first sermon, he laid down his mission, what he's going to do, what he has come to do, what he has come to accomplish, to bring relief to people who are suffering. As I was preparing this brief message, I came across a song that was written by a Jamaican pop singer. His name was Jimmy Cliff. Jimmy Cliff talked about suffering. In a song, he says, "Too many people are suffering. Too many people are sad. Two lucky people got everything, while too many people got nothing. Remake the world, Lord, with love and happiness. Remake the world. Put your conscience in the test. Remake the world from south to north, from east to west. Remake the world. Sometimes I don't like to watch the news. It's sometimes depressing. Every time you hear something going on in the world, somebody is killed. The world is in chaos. There's no peace. I remember one time in one of my churches in Missouri, I was assigned to this local church in Northwest Missouri. Perhaps it was the first time for the village to see a black person. So for some of them, it was strange. One of the persons in the church told one of the members of the congregation, he said, "I'm not going to go to church until that nigger left the church." And I was at that church for a year. The conference could not take it, so they transferred me to another church. This person refused to go to church because I was in a church. Where is the creation of God? You know, also when I was reading this, I look at the creation story, God's creation story. After everything he had done, at the end of it, he says, everything was what? Good. Everything that he has ever made was good. But the world has now turned out to be chaotic. We're fighting each other. So Jesus says, "I come to bring relief and peace to the world. I come that those who are bound in sickness, in grief, in sadness, I come to give them comfort." Being a person from Liberia, I witnessed the work of Uncle. And for me, if Jimmy Clay was here, I was going to tell him, "Jimmy, you ask God to recreate the world. God has created you and me to help recreate the world. We are the church. We are God's feet. We are God's hands. We are God's words. We are to go out in the world and create the world, to make it a better place for everyone." And that's the work of Uncle. During the war in Liberia, even though I was not there, but I've heard what Uncle did. Uncle was there. It has brought peace. It has brought stability. It has opened home, builds home, and does everything what needed to be done in Liberia. So Uncle is a very legitimate organization for the United Methodist Church. It is the mouth, the feet, the hands of Christ. And so we, as a church, I think it is our moral responsibility, our ethical responsibility, to support Uncle. John Wesley says it best. I have a card that I always carry with me as a Methodist. He says, let me read it to you. He says, "Do all the good you can. By all the means you can. In all ways you can. In all places you can. At all times you can. To all people you can. As long as ever you can." Christ came to bring relief, but he's not here anymore. He has commissioned you and me to be his feet, to bring justice. If we see something going on and you continue to say, "Well, it doesn't concern me," then of course you are participating in that evil that is going on. We are the feet of God, the mouth, the hands, the thoughts. That's why God called us to be a church. The church is to go out and bring peace and stability. In Liberia, the pastors use the pulpit to, for lack of better words, confront corruption in our country. But here, I don't see pastors talking about some ills of society. We are so timid, probably because if we talk so much, they're going to take our tax-free from us. We want to maintain that tax exempt from the government. So we don't want to talk anything about what is going on in our society. But it's not in Liberia. We talk about it. We tell the government when they are wrong. We tell the president when he's wrong. Even though you may get killed, but you still have to talk. It's your moral responsibility to speak to the ills of society. Christ says, I've come so that they may have peace. I come that those who are in ill health to be relieved from all that they are doing. The other song that I copied when I was preparing my sermon was that it was written by Jimmy Clay. It says, wonderful world, beautiful people, and you are your girl. Things go better beneath. This is a secret that nobody can tell. Take a look at the world and the state that it's in today. I'm sure you agree. We all could make it better anyway. Put together, everybody, learn to love each other. It was this fellow in California who was beating Rodney King. He said something that stuck with me. He said, can't we all get along? Can't we all get along? Can't we put aside this fight, this bitterness, this hatred? If we are Christians, if we are followers of Christ, can't we all get along? That's what Christ says. I come. I am the one God has sent, so that the poor may be free. So the eyes of the blind will be open. I bring good news to them. The church is the bearer of good news. And that's what UMCO does. Wherever the church is, there's always good news. We carry good news. Because Christ says, you are the light of the world. We have been chosen to bring light to the dark places in the world. Are we going to play our part? Are we going to say, so it doesn't concern me. It's all over there, way far from my country, so I'm not going to be a part of it. No, you are the church. God has commissioned you to be a part of this and participate. I come that they may have life. I come that they may be able to see. I come that those who are in captives may be relieved. My experience in working prisons, I know I worked in the Missouri prisons for 15 years as a counselor, and I know what it means to be in prison. I was not an inmate, but I was with them some 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. I know their pain. I know their struggle. The churches in Missouri put together, and every Sunday they send people to go do ministry with them. That's what Christ has called us to do, to bring relief to the prisoners. And we are the feet, and we are the eyes, the thoughts, the minds, and hands of Christ. He has called us to take up this matter. Christ said it. He said, well, look, man, we ought to go and do this. We ought to participate in the mission that he has set us to do. There was a story about this little girl who was asked about outsiders. He says, did Jesus really love outsiders? Because for the Jews, when Jesus said that he was the one who came to bring relief to the captives, they thought it was all for them. It had to remain with them. It shouldn't go out. Anyone who Jesus went to was an outsider. No, Jesus' grace is not outsider. It is universal. It includes everyone, Jews, Gentiles, men, women, black, white, children, poor, rich. It is all for us. And that's why I named my sermon the Universal Emancipation. You see, the emancipation of 1863 or 1865 was just for the United States. But the emancipation of Christ is a universal emancipation. It includes everyone. Tina told me not to go more than 15 minutes, so I have to. You know, in Africa, in Liberia, Sunday is dedicated for preaching. It's for Sunday. So Sunday will go for 3-4 hours. And so I had in my mind that I was going to, I remember one time I was preaching in one of my churches, and I was kind of going about the 15, 16 minute mark. They start looking at the watch. He said, it's time. So I have to be mindful. But universal emancipation includes everyone. And we are the feet, we are the hands, we are the thoughts of God's grace. Will we do that? I know the church is active. But, you know, that's why I came to this church. When I moved here from Pennsylvania, I used to attend Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church. I went there for a year, but I quit going there. And so I said, well, let me go around. I started going around, and I saw this sign. I said, yeah, this is a place probably I will fit. So I started coming here. And like Pastor Stina said, all of us were wearing masks. And I just come after service, get in my car and go back. But this year I said, no, it's going to be different. I'm an active United Methodist pastor. I'm an elder. I have to participate in the life of the church. And luckily, Pastor Stina was able to say, come, let's talk. And then we talked. So I'm here. Anything you want me to do? I taught a disciple Bible class, if you are ready for that. I taught it, disciple one, disciple two. I was trained to teach that. And I want to do something in the church as long as I'm here. I don't know, maybe I will get an appointment or not. But as long as I'm here, I want to be a part of this vibrant Christian community. Are you ready now? Christ has called us to go out, to be a part of this organization. May peace be upon us. Peace in these days when the world is in fire. Every now and then you hear something going on everywhere. I think the church has that moral responsibility. We as a church must be able to stand up for injustice. There's someone who says injustice in one place is injustice everywhere. Christ has commissioned us to proclaim freedom, justice, love, kindness. He has relieved us from all burdens. He has relieved us from sin. Salvation is now available to each one of us. And the church must be able to be the bearer of the good news of God's grace. May we shine a light in the world. May we carry the torch so that those who are in darkness may see the goodness of God's grace. I still don't want to go beyond the time that was allotted. But we, as a church, must take an active stand in what we do. We are commissioned. Wesley was right. Do all the good you can. And also, when I was appointed in Iowa, they gave us this thing here. It says, beyond the simple rules of a Methodist, do no harm, do good, and what else? Stay in love with God. I carry these things in my wallet. So that when I want to do something, no, Elijah, you can't do it. You cannot do it. We have to preserve the goodness of God's grace. We have to preserve this creation. We have to speak up for justice, for peace, for love. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for choosing us to be your ambassadors. You are choosing us to light the world, carry the torch in dark places. May Uncle be the light that inflame the world through your kindness. May we be those who you have commissioned to speak justice, to defend the poor, to defend the weak, to speak on their behalf. May we be the church of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.